Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another. So we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
This Memorial Day, I want to spend a moment to just reflect on the lives that were given in service to others. We want to honor those who have served us in this way. And so we are incredibly grateful for that sacrifice. For those families who have lost someone in service to others, we pray that the God of peace and the God of all comfort would overcome you in this moment and that he would show his love and his kindness to you. And so we honor the memory of your loved one, and we honor your family this Memorial Day. You know, it was almost 3 months ago that I remember reading about the coronavirus for the very first time. I was just kind of scrolling through my news. There was an article about something that was happening halfway across the world. And I remember I read about half the article and thought, oh, that sounds kind of bad. And then I kind of put it out of my mind. I thought, this is a distant problem. It's far away. It's not that big of a deal. Man, was I wrong, because it hit home, and it hit home in a very big way. It was a few weeks, a few months later that we started having cases pop up in our community. Restrictions started being put in place about where we could go and what we could do and how we could operate business. You know, 3 months ago, I wasn't worried about the virus at all. And now I'm wearing a mask when I go to the grocery store. I'm using hand sanitizer all the time, right? I'm also having to wait in line before I can even enter into a store. I also closed down our offices for a little while so we could work from home. I'm cautious about, I don't want to be around people who are high risk in case I accidentally infect them. I hadn't heard of Zoom until a few months ago, and when our staff started using it for our meetings. In fact, I couldn't attend the ultrasound of our third child, which we are expecting in August, because of this virus. What was once so distant and far away has become a reality that continues to impact daily life for all of us. And the longer we stay in this environment of physical distancing, the more and the more I see anger. People are angry. They're angry they can't go to a store because there's a limit. They're angry that they've lost their jobs. People are getting on each other's nerves because they've been in the same house for weeks now. Graduating seniors are angry that they don't get a graduation like everyone else has up until now. You know, even my young boys got really upset when we had to explain to them they couldn't play with their friends in the neighborhood. People are angry. And you would think that now that we're kind of starting to open up a little bit, that the level of anger would go down in our society and in our community, but people are still angry. They're angry that we're not opening up fast enough, or they're angry that we're opening up too fast. In fact, people are angry, and it just seems like we are all at the boiling point, ready to erupt at just any minute. Anger is everywhere. All you have to do is look at the comment section of a news story, and you start to discover how angry people are. In fact, last week, a late-night comedian made a joke about our president. And regardless of what you think of the president, the hate that came out towards him was unbelievable. People didn't take point with his argument. Instead, what they did is they started threatening his life. And then they threatened the life of his son. Unbelievable. I heard someone say this recently. It just seems like many people in our world are living off of coffee and hate. And I kind of have to agree with them. I asked Austin Boone, a licensed professional counselor, to share some of his thoughts about anger. Austin is a member of Northside, and he leads a weekly class here at the church called the STOP class that is a domestic violence prevention class for men. And so he deals pretty heavily with this topic of anger, and I want you to listen in on some of his thoughts as we discuss anger.
So we all know what anger is. It's an emotion. It's not an action. You can be angry without being aggressive. So that's an important distinction to make. Anger, unfortunately, gets kind of the bad rap of being a negative emotion. We shouldn't be angry, or we ought not to be angry. But anger, like other emotions, I believe is not inherently good or bad. A lot of it's what you do with that. Even Christ was angry when he chased out the people who were selling in the temple court. Anger is also a secondary emotion in that you may have heard of this, but if you think about an iceberg, how much of an iceberg is above water? It's only 10%. Okay, so 10% is above water, 90% is submerged below the surface, so we don't see that. And with anger, a lot of times we show our anger, we express that, we show that to people, but that covers a lot of other feelings. Obviously, we do a lot of dumb stuff and stuff we regret when we're angry, and the simple reason for that is that we're sinful humans and we let our emotions get the best of us. We act impulsively or out of revenge or out of anger. So that's the kind of the short answer. The longer answer, you can look at some of the other aspects, and if you're a younger person, you can relate to just the physiological response of anger. It's very much like the fight or flight response. It prepares you for action, so you have an increased heart rate, increased blood pressure, hormones, so we're more likely to do something that we may regret when we're angry. Other factors, you look at how you grew up. And if you had a father who was angry and he yelled, he cussed, he threw things, broke things, it may be a learned behavior for you. There was that modeling that took place. You look at the cognitive aspect and the things that you're telling yourself in your head. A lot of times we have a narrative, a self-talk that isn't healthy. We think the world ought to be a certain way. I should have been invited to this get-together. This person shouldn't cut me off in traffic. All these things that we tell ourselves that get us to that point of being angry, and so we do dumb things because we allow ourselves to go there. If you're going to express your anger, you need to understand that the purpose of anger is not to ultimately get the result that you want. You may perfectly express your anger using I statements and all of that good stuff, and the person may dismiss you or may get angry back at you. The point of expressing your anger is so that you feel better about yourself. You walk away with a clear conscience that I neither overreacted nor was I passive. I expressed myself, I stood up for myself, and I feel good about how I handled that because I acted like Christ in that moment. So how does anger affect you spiritually? It can play a very negative role, obviously. Not always, but it can. And I think that it robs you of joy. It robs you of peace. And these are things that God tells us over and over again. Rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. Have the peace of God that transcends all understanding. So if you walk around angry, you're going to walk around being miserable, and it's going to hurt your relationships, and it's also going to hurt your relationship with God. If you struggle with anger, first of all, give your anger to God. God wants to hear about all of your emotions, including your anger. I also recommend that you study God's Word. You know the passage from James that talks about, take note of this, my brothers, everyone must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But then it says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So God is basically telling us we need to be slow to become angry because the results of anger often aren't a good thing. Not always, but often they're not a good thing.
I appreciate how Austin said that anger is an emotion. And oftentimes we have to decide, what am I going to do with my anger? And what you do with your anger is really what matters. It was a little while ago that I was at camp actually teaching a lesson on receiving the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus. And I kind of started out talking about sin, what sin is, and to make sure students were understanding what we were talking about, I just asked them, go ahead and shout out what would be some sins that the Bible talks about. And so students started shouting out murder and stealing and things like this. And one adult actually shouted out anger. And I kind of paused for a moment and I said, you know, I know what you're getting at when you say anger, But anger by itself is just an emotion. It's not actually a sin. Oftentimes, it's what we do with our anger that leads us into sin. Because when we don't handle anger in the right way, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right length of time, it leads us to sin. And oftentimes, mismanaged anger consumes us to the point that we leave a wake of destruction in our path. And this is why I think God tells us as Christians to be very, very, very careful with our anger. In fact, Ephesians 4:26 says, "In your anger, don't sin. Do not sin." And for many of us, our anger problem is not a problem with the emotion of anger, but it's the mismanaged anger. We don't handle it well when we get mad. I listened to another pastor actually describe it this way. He said, "Anger that is not handled well is explosive to the soul, and it incinerates everything in its path." You see, mismanaged anger destroys. Anger destroys in so many different ways. You know, anger destroys your body. Physically, anger has an effect on you. It can cause heart conditions and physical conditions just because you're angry all the time. Anger destroys communities. Anger can destroy friendships. But what do you mean I wasn't invited to your birthday party? I saw it on Instagram. I guess I wasn't really one of your friends anyways. Anger breaks down marriages. You said that you would be home at 5 and it is 5:30. I can't rely on you for anything. Anger destroys the love and trust that God so desperately wants in our families. Yelling at your kids will not make them feel closer to you. But anger also destroys wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do in a situation that is productive and that is helpful. But here's what anger does. It destroys wisdom. It is so hard to make wise decisions when you are angry. You know, maybe this has happened to you where you've lost it at some point in time, and after you've had time to cool down and start to think about it, you realize, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done those things. Do you know why you feel that way? Do you know why you crossed that line? It's because you were foolish. You were dumb. Your anger destroyed your wisdom in that moment. You know, I don't think I have to convince you that anger, mismanaged anger, is massively dangerous in our world. It's incredibly dangerous. It's dangerous in our schools. It's dangerous in our communities. It's dangerous in our neighborhoods and our cities. Mismanaged anger can and it will destroy our world. Let me just give you some FBI statistics from 2018. They came out and said that there's one violent crime every 26 seconds. They said there's one aggravated assault every 39 seconds in the United States, and there's one murder every 32 minutes. Mismanaged anger destroys. And I think many of us know this in our head. Like, this makes sense to us. We've seen people who are angry that really hurt other people. But when we are the one that's angry, when we are the one that has mismanaged anger, we feel like it's justified and it's okay. We say things like, well, I just had to get it off my chest. I just tell it like it is. I just have a short fuse, or this is how I am. But even with our excuses, mismanaged anger still destroys whatever is in its path. But mismanaged anger also does this. Mismanaged anger also spreads. Contagious is a word that we've come to use frequently during this pandemic. When someone is contagious, we do everything we can to avoid them. It's like, I'm not going to their house. I'm not getting close to them. I won't even, you know, step foot on their front porch because I don't want to catch what they have. Well, if you are watching this in a group right now, you know, don't point fingers, don't make eye contact with anyone who's around you. But some of you who are watching this right now are carriers of anger. You may think your anger is just directed at one particular person or directed at a particular situation, but your anger is spreading because anger is contagious. Anger leads to more anger. Jeff Hancock, who's a communications researcher at Stanford University, he studied 700,000 Facebook users. And he discovered that we pick up on the emotions of others. In other words, we mirror the emotions of the news stories and the feeds that we are reading. And so when we read angry material, guess what? We become even more angry. Domestic violence statistics tell us that 1 in 15 children in the United States witnessed domestic violence in their homes. I mean, first of all, that is a startling, scary, and heartbreaking statistic. But of those 1 out of 15 children who witnessed domestic violence, they are 3 times more likely than their peers to engage in violent behavior. Anger is contagious, and mismanaged anger, it spreads like wildfire, and it destroys whatever is in its path. And if we're going to learn to deal with anger, we need to identify what we are talking about. Anger is an emotion, but it's a secondary emotion. In other words, it's like the check engine light on your car. When the check engine light comes on, it means that you have a problem that needs to be addressed. There's something wrong. But the problem is not the light. It's not like, oh, I need to get rid of that light because it just popped on my car. Instead, the problem is something else. I remember once my grandpa, who's a farmer for years, got tired with the check engine light on his car. So he took out some black electrical tape and just put it on his dash so he didn't have to deal with it anymore. Now, he didn't deal with the real problem. He just dealt with the light. His problem was actually something that was going on under the hood. And when you're angry, you need to deal with what is under your hood, because there is something in your heart that is triggering your anger. Your anger can be triggered by fear. You may be angry right now because you're financially afraid. That you're not sure if your business is going to make it, and you're angry at all the situations that you're facing. Your anger may be triggered by regret and shame. Many of us have had time to push pause on our life because we can't fill it with the busyness that we had before. And maybe you realize that your priorities have been off for even years, and you wish that there was some things that you could do differently, that you could go back in time. Maybe your anger is triggered by hurt, that you had a dad who walked out on you, or friends who walked out on you, and that anger burns inside of you. But anger can also stem from stress and fatigue. Have you ever been around a kid that just needs a nap or just needs something to eat? See, all of these things can trigger anger, and all of us have something in our heart, something under the hood that needs to be worked through and figured out in order for us to deal with our anger. You know, oftentimes anger is expressed in one of two ways, and I just want to say off the top that both of these ways are equally destructive and they're equally sinful. And I have a few pictures that to help me describe the tendencies we have in experiencing our anger. So here's the first one. All right, if you're watching kids, you probably know who this guy is right here. So go ahead and shout out his name right now. That's right, it's the Hulk. And normally, Bruce Banner is a mild-mannered guy, but when you make him angry, man, he turns into a big green monster that just destroys everything in his path. And some of you, when you get angry, this is who you turn into. You become the Hulk. You start destroying stuff around you, and everyone knows that you're angry because you're making sure that they know that you're angry. They hear you coming from miles away. So if you're a Hulk, we all know who you are. You're angry. Everyone's going to know. You're the person that sends the email, not just in bold, but you leave your caps lock on just to make sure people know how you really feel about something. And it's 5 pages long. You just let it rip. And when you are done being the Hulk, things and people are broken all around you. The second way people tend to handle anger is represented by this little guy right here. This little guy is from the movie, actually, Inside Out. And in the movie, he's an emotion that takes place inside of different people. And for most of the movie, anger is just kind of rolling around on the inside, offering hateful suggestions and hateful actions. But a few times, he does take control to put the foot down. But most of the times, it's just something that's happening on the inside of people's minds. And I want to use this as a picture for people who tend to leave their anger on the inside. It's anger that builds up inside of you. Now, you may think, well, at least I don't yell and scream and cuss and throw things like the Hulk does. I mean, that's not as bad as what the Hulk does. But maybe what you do is actually just as damaging. Maybe you get manipulative and you start recruiting your army to fight the next battle or the person that you're angry with. Maybe you get sarcastic and you just say hurtful things and you hide behind lines like, oh, I was just joking. Maybe you withhold attention and affection until the person says, hey, is everything okay? And you respond, oh, everything's fine. But secretly, you're thinking about how to poison their coffee because they didn't do the dishes last night. No matter if anger is stored in your head or expressed like the Hulk, both of them can leave a wake of destruction in their path. This is why God tells us in James 1:20, he says, human anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. You see, the fruit of anger, it's not a better relationship with God. It's not a life that's filled with peace. Anger doesn't lead you down that road. In fact, it leads you down the road of brokenness and pain and consequences. And so if we want to live the life that God desires for us, man, we have to work through our anger. Now, oftentimes we want God to take care of our problem when God actually wants to grow us through our problem. Colossians 3:8 says this, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these, anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. You must get rid of it. You must get rid of it. You know, God will walk alongside of us, but it's our job to get rid of it. Now, this may be new information to you, but there are some things that God will not do for you. So get rid of your anger. You're seething towards someone. Get rid of your rage. That's the out of control anger. Get rid of your malice. That's anger that says, I want you to hurt. Get rid of your slander. That's spoken anger, speaking out against someone. And get rid of your filthy language. You ever lose control of your tongue when you're angry? Get rid of these things because they don't produce the righteous life that God desires. So how do you work through your anger in a way that honors God, that honors people, and honors how you feel? Well, in James 1:19 through 20, God gives us this incredible insight for how to work through our anger. And I'm telling you right now, this is easy to read, but it is so hard to do in the moment. But if you do these things, you will handle your anger in a way that honors people, that honors God, and honors your emotions. So here's what James says. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Now, I just want to pause right there and note that James is reminding us that we are in a relationship with each other. And if you're a parent, you know exactly what James is doing. It's kind of like when my two boys start getting into an argument with each other about who had the toy first, and they start wrestling and punching and hitting and yelling and crying, and I pull them aside and I set them both down and I calm them down, and I first thing I tell them is, listen, you're brothers. You love each other. This is the same team. We're not against each other in this. We're fighting the same battle with each other. And I try to remind them that their relationship with each other is more important than who is right and then who is wrong or who had it first. How they treat each other matters. So James kind of frames this whole conversation, reminding us that we are brothers and that we are sisters. We have a relationship with each other. He says this, verse 19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. In working through your anger, I just want to kind of tear this apart a little bit and look at these three parts. In working through your anger, you need to be quick to listen. Most times when we get angry, we are not quick to listen. Notice the word is listen and not just hear. Listening implies that you're leaning in for understanding. Listening means that you're eliminating other noises to really understand what is going on. You're not thinking about your response. You're not waiting till they take a breath so you can get even and show them how wrong they are. Listen means I want to understand you. And there's a couple of things we need to listen to when we start to get angry. The very first one is I think you need to listen to yourself. You need to know why you're angry. And several years ago, I remember being really mad at a particular person. It felt like this person just kept pushing my buttons, and I would get angry until finally I couldn't take it anymore, and I'd kind of blow up on them. And I went to a trusted person in my life, and I told myself that I was seeking wisdom with this person. I wanted to know what to do, but really I think what I was doing was just venting my anger at them. And they let me vent for a long time, and when I got done venting, they very wisely asked me, Kevin, what are you really angry at? What is it that's driving your anger? And at that moment, I realized I couldn't answer them. I was just mad. And I hadn't paused long enough to figure out why am I mad? What's triggering my anger? What's making me angry? Your anger is coming from somewhere in your heart. And you need to pause and listen to your heart to figure out, why do I feel this way? But secondly, you need to listen to others. Lean into others. It's amazing how much information can give you a better understanding of a situation or even of a person. You know, over the past few years, I've been working with the contractors on our new worship center, which I'm so excited to move into whenever we're able to regather. And a couple weeks ago, one of our vendors came to me and told me that there was a delay in some custom products that, man, we really needed to install these to stay on track with our timeline. And I could feel the anger growing inside of me. Because in my head, I'm going, what do you mean it's delayed? You've had this contract for 6 months. It doesn't take that long to manufacture these things. They were supposed to be delivered today. And now I'm finding out that they're delayed. And so on the inside, I could feel it just kind of growing in me. And I remember the only words that I said in that moment was, I am very disappointed with that news. I guess God was helping me hold my tongue in that moment. But they went on to tell me, well, the gentleman who manufactures these has had some major health issues in the past several months, and to tell me about what was going on in his life. And all of a sudden, what was anger has now shifted to compassion in my heart, because I realized there was something else going on in this gentleman's life. I mean, can you imagine if I would have just ripped this guy up and down one side and down the other, and only to find out later that he was battling a major health issue? See, we need to pause, be quick to listen to our own hearts, but we need to listen to others, because listening brings understanding. Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who's quick-tempered, they display folly. You know, a great way to listen is to ask questions. Questions for understanding about how the other person feels or what's going on in the other person's life. So parents, ask your kids questions. Ask them questions to understand what's going on in their hearts. Ask your spouse questions to understand them. Teenagers, you want to freak your parents out? Start asking them questions about how they're feeling and how their life is going and what's going on in their hearts. That'll flip the script a little bit. So be quick to listen. James says we also need to be slow to speak. If I'm really honest, some of you in your anger, you just need to stop talking. Like, just stop. Because it isn't long before talking turns into yelling, and yelling turns into throwing things. Throwing things turns into the police showing up at your house, and your relationship just left in ruins. Sometimes you just need to stop. Stop talking, and you can come back together later when you've calmed down and you're ready to have that conversation. But when we are angry, oftentimes we're not thinking about how to solve the problem. What we are thinking about is how to hurt the person. Because we feel like they've done something to us, or they owe me something, and I want them to hurt in the same way that I'm hurting right now. And so instead we think things like, well, if they're going to point out my faults, I'm just going to point out all theirs. And we start reminding them of every mistake they've made in the past. You remember that one 10 years ago when you forgot my birthday? Just slow down the conversation. Be slow to speak. Proverbs 29:11 says this, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. You want to be a fool? Then let them have it. And when you calm down, you realize, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Why? Because the wise bring calm in the end. Proverbs 51 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So we need to be slow to speak with gentleness, and it will turn away wrath. Even when someone comes at you with anger, don't meet them at their level. Don't raise your voice at them. Be slow to speak with gentleness. And what does it say? It will turn away wrath. So be quick to listen, slow to speak, and finally, slow to become angry. See, the biblical view of anger is, it's not no anger, which, yes, I know that's terrible grammar, but you'll understand why I said it that way in a minute. It's not no anger. It's not blow-up anger. The biblical view of anger is actually slow anger. It's anger that happens for the right reason, to the right degree, at the right situation, in the right timing, and for the right length of time. And when you're slow to anger, it helps you discover why you're angry, and it helps you keep you from crossing the line of into sin and destroying relationships. It keeps your love for people in that moment when you are slow to anger. And it allows you to approach the situation with wisdom. When you love people, you are slow to get angry. There's a passage of scripture that we usually read when it comes to weddings. But listen to this description of love. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. God calls Christians to be people of love. And if we truly live out God's love for others, then we will be slow to anger and full of grace and mercy for others. You see, I think it's important for us to remember that God is not calling us to do something that he hasn't done himself. Look at this from Exodus 34, 6 and 7. It says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving the iniquity and transgression and sin. You see, God came to this earth as Jesus. And Jesus wasn't just right. Jesus was actually perfect. He lived a completely sinless life. And so what did he do whenever he was arrested unfairly and accused of things that he never did, accused of all kinds of evil? Well, Scripture tells us that he stood silent before his accusers. While he was on the cross, did he speak hate? No, he spoke grace to those around him. He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. Even as he was mocked, he gave them grace. He gave it to them, and he gives us grace today. It is so hard to be slow to anger, quick to listen, slow to speak, until you have received the grace and mercy of God in your own life. And for some of you today, this is the first step that you need to take in dealing with anger. Is you need to let God come into your heart in a very real way and heal wounds that have been there for a long, long time. And so if you want to take that step on this journey to accept the grace of Jesus and be baptized in his name, I want to invite you to go to northsidechristianchurch.net/decision. And I want you to fill out that form and we will follow up with you because we want to help you take those next steps of faith. If you just need prayer or help connecting with Christian counseling, please go to that form and fill it out. But I also want to just take a moment and pray for what God wants to do through us as we deal with our anger, our mismanaged anger. So let's pray together. Father, I ask today that we would represent you well on this earth. Lord, that we would receive your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness for us, and that we would give it to others. Lord, that we would release our anger. Lord, that we would choose to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And Lord, that ultimately we would understand that you are in control, that you are leading us in these moments. So God, may we surrender to you, and may our lives be filled with love and joy and peace, the very things that you want to grow in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, church. Thank you for joining us online today. If you'd like to make a decision to follow Jesus, to be baptized, or to become a member here at Northside, you can do that at northsidechristianchurch.net/decision, and a minister will be in touch with you shortly. If you're wanting to give help or you need help during this season, we would love to connect you, whether with service opportunities or resources that you need. So feel free to visit us at northsidechristianchurch.net/care or text the word CARE to 417-233-1200. And you can connect with us throughout the week online. You can find great resources like sermon guides or family discussion guides based on each week's message at northsidechristianchurch.net/online. You can also follow us throughout the week on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. We're so thankful that you chose to join us online today. Let's serve him well this week, Northside.